I'm your host, Gary Holt, and joining me is my trail partner and co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Howdy, Tina Mae.
Howdy.
Well, you know, this is the first show, Tina Mae, for Saddle Up America, and it's going to be a good one. Joining us in the first half hour is Robert Eversole, the Trailmeister. In our second segment, we travel to Tuscumbia, Alabama, to Seven Springs Lodge and the Rattlesnake Saloon. And in between, we'll be playing trail trivia for your chance to win a great gift pack from Hispania Silk All-Natural Grooming Products. So grab a cup of hot coffee and join us. And when we come back, we'll be talking with the Trailmeister on Saddle Up America.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-ay, I go my way, back in the saddle again. I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-ay, I go my way, back in the saddle again.
Well, we're in the saddle this evening for the first show for Saddle Up America, and so happy to have Tina Mae Weber, who is going to be our co-host for Saddle Up America. And our first guest is none other than Robert Eversole, the Trailmeister. And Robert, welcome to the show.
Hey, howdy. Thanks for having me, Gary and Tina.
Well, howdy.
Howdy,
and Tina,
Robert.
Yeah. Well, we're excited to have you on here. For folks that, and I know you have a lot of fans out there, but a lot of folks are not familiar with you, perhaps, and you are a contributing writer for some of the top equine magazines in the country. You also are a highly in-demand public speaker. You are an expert on the trail systems and have an absolutely wonderful website that we're going to encourage people to go and visit as well. But wanted to have you on our first show, and I'm just going to go ahead and mention now for our audience, Robert will be a regular guest on Saddle Up America beginning in September, the second Tuesday of each month. So we're so happy to have you and your contribution to the show. But let's talk a little bit about what type of riding you like to do, and I know that we're going to talk in just a little bit about the Bob Marshall Wilderness Area, but talk with us a little bit how you get prepared for some of these backcountry rides that you do.
No problem, Gary, and thanks much. After that introduction, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get my head through the doorway here. That was wonderful, and certainly very kind, and it's really a pleasure to be able to share some of my experiences and the stuff I've picked up along the way with others. So thanks a bunch. I'm having a ball. And really excited to chat both about, getting ready for trail rides in different places and stuff like that. You're kind of asking about getting ready for a backcountry type trip. Those are the kind of trips that I like. I like to think of it as that after you get past that 5 mile mark. You and I have talked about that before, and Tina May, I don't know if you agree or not, but when you get a few hours out from the trailhead, that 5, 6, 7 mile mark, sometimes the trail gets a little bit narrower. Have you noticed that, Tina May?
Yes, I have. I don't think they go as far.
There you go. But once those trails get a little bit narrow for all your day riders start heading back, that's where I think it gets really special. And those are the areas that I like to go into and, hopefully stay more than a few hours. How do we get there? How do we go about that? And Gary, with the introductory song, I think Mr. Autry, he said it all right there. going along our way, back in the saddle again, sleeping under the stars. That's what it's all about. I'm sorry?
Wet blankets. Getting on the horse and riding, yep.
Exactly. A wet blanket is the cure for many ills. and kind of going from there. So I guess, to use Mr. Autry's paraphrasing, to get out, along our way, what do we need to do? The first things that I do before I start planning a trip. Well, actually, I am planning a trip. Just started talking with the rec ranger out of the Eagle Caps Wilderness in northeast Oregon this morning, and just started those introductory fact-finding phone calls and web searches and the like about going into the Eagle Caps. So, anytime we go someplace new, I think we can probably all agree that it's a good idea to find out as much as you can. I don't really like to have adventures per se on the trail. I prefer to keep my adventures with the sights and the scenery, not in getting there or knowing what the rules and regs are. And usually those rules and regs adventures, especially when you start getting into the whole certified weed-free feed requirements and stuff like that, when those adventures come up, they're awfully spendy, I found.
Right. Well, we've got our listeners, and our listeners are from all across the country. So, I'm back here in Tennessee. I've done most of my riding in the Southeast, and it's quite a bit different from where you are in Washington State and the type of country that people ride on with the National Forest Service and the BLM lands. And that's where it takes
a little bit. Oh, you're terribly right. I hadn't really thought about that, but, East Coast, West Coast, we got more than just the mighty Mississippi dividing us. Different rules, different regs, all sorts of stuff.
And what are the first things that you need to know when you're getting ready to plan a trip like that, and then how do you provision yourself depending on where you're going?
Oh, well, like I said, a lot of the first things that I do are web searches. Who's the land manager? Am I riding on Forest Service? Am I riding National Park? Different land manager agencies, different rules, like you said, BLM, different rules. Is it a state park? Again, different rules. Is it a private place? Different rules. So, you know, I guess I'm a bit of a geek, but, you know, I want to know what the rules are so that I can comply with them or decide not to go if they're too onerous.
Right,
You know, but I always like to get in touch with that land manager agency to see what the deal is, what the rules are. And then if I can find one, I'll track down a local riding club. Either, you know, I'm pretty active with Backcountry Horsemen. So I'll track down a Backcountry Horsemen chapter or a local riding club. You know, the best information that we can get is from people that ride there normally, right?
Right.
And so I'll see if I can't talk with them. Can I expect water? Can I expect feed? You know, and spot X, Y, or Z at the time of the year I'm planning on going. You know, it's always great to talk with people that have been there or are going there. You can never beat you know, that first person experience to let you know a little bit more of what to expect. Nobody wants to ride in, you know, that 3-4 hours and find out that there's no grazing or no water. That'll end a trip in a heartbeat.
Right.
Yeah, I can find out the terrain. You know, if I'm going someplace that I haven't been, I'd like to know, you know, what kind of terrain that I'm dealing with and what kind of terrain my horse has to deal with.
Exactly.
All that. Those are great questions of people to contact to find out, you know, out on the trail what to expect before you get there.
Right. Let's leave those, you know, those adventures, I like to call them. You know, let's leave those at home as much as we can. You know, let the adventure be starting the campfire and cooking the hot dogs, you know, not where it's going to impact, you know, us or our animal safety. And then, you know, Tina May, you just mentioned, you know, the terrain, hugely important. You know, is my animal legged up enough for 3 miles and 3,000 feet? Or is it nice, steady flatlands? You know, all that kind of information. You know, Gary mentioned the website, trailmeister.com. You know, we've tried to take and get a lot of this information for our readers, and it's free. You know, search the trail areas, and you can kind of sort and sift by what kind of amenities you're looking for or what kind of a ride you're looking for. But like I said, still a lot of that is going to depend upon how much research we've done beforehand. It's always kind of funny when you get into the backcountry. You know, there's always going to be that group that you remember for a long time that were just woefully unprepared, and then we all laugh at them. You know, once we get back to the trailhead. So, let's face it, we all do.
We do, but we just don't want to be. We just don't want to be one of them. So that's
exactly
the thing. Yeah. Well,
exactly.
You know, let's. One of the things that we want to talk about, and of course, we want to talk a little bit about the Bob Marshall Wilderness Area, we talk about the best trails and different types of trails. That's kind of the goal of this show, and also to talk about being prepared for these places where people may want to head out and put on their bucket list. Before we go into a lot of details about the Bob Marshall, what did you do in preparation for that ride?
For the Bob Marshall, prior to going in, that ride was a little bit different than most in that I was helping pack a group of wildlife biologists. So I got to finally pack inflatable boats. It was on my, you know, my packer's bucket list, if you will. So that trip was a little bit different in that it wasn't a recreational ride. I knew who the land managers were. I knew what the rules were. I also knew that we were doing things a little bit differently than some of the rules because it was part of the land manager's is their program with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks in assessing these fish populations. But before I went in, I had a lot of phone calls with the rec ranger. You know, even though I live in Spokane, and this is definitely bear country, and you know, we've lived here in Washington in bear country for quite a while, I'm terrified of the critters. Not that I
yeah.
ever see them, but I'm terrified of them. The whole idea of coming around a trail and coming nose to nose with one is, you know, one of the things that keeps me up at night. Probably shouldn't, but it does. And I wanted to know what the bear population was, because they have grizzly bears there. They have the real things, Ursus horribilis. And that was my big thing prior to going in. And as it turns out, that particular area that we were going into, that we were packing into, was supposed to have some of the largest concentration of grizzlies in the lower 48.
Oh, wow.
So that, you know, it made me kind of wonder a bit. And especially since we're, quote-unquote, assessing the fish population, which equates to going fishing.
Right.
Know, what do we always see on TV with bears? They love fish.
They love fish. They like fish, too. Yeah.
So I was kind of wondering there a little bit. But, I talked with the land managers and, you know, kind of what to expect. Back to Tina Mays, you know, the terrain. I looked at a lot of topo maps, you know, of the area, of the trailhead, and then where we were going to be making base camp out of, and some of the drainages where we're going to be taking the biologists into. So I spent a lot of time, and it's, you know, with the contour lines and the maps before I even went in, you know, just so that I could visualize what it was that we were going to do. The trail out from the Owl Creek Packers camp up until you get to the, heavens, now I'm going to forget the name of the pass. We'll call it Holland Lake Pass, for lack of a better word. No, Pendant Pass. From the trailhead to Pendant Pass is, I guess, about 5-6 miles, and it's all uphill. You're gaining, I believe it's close to 3,000 feet, if I remember right. So it's a steady slog uphill the whole way. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, hey, is the animal legged up enough? Is it going to be able to do this? Are we going to have water along the way? You know, that's a long slog for loaded pack animals. You know, that kind of stuff. You know, as much as you can do from the comfort of home before the rubber meets the road, or I guess I should say the horseshoe meets the trail.
Right. Well, we want to talk a little bit about how long you were back there, what the country was like, and we want to find out about what kind of fishing you might have done, because I know you like to do a little trout fishing too, but
I do. That was the big plus for me. The trip was actually arranged by a backcountry horseman of Montana. And it was the big draw. They asked me to be the guest speaker at their 40th anniversary shindig in Kalispell. And since I've never, Gary, I have to admit, I'm not a nice man, since I had never ridden in Montana prior to that, I threw a clause into my standard speaker's agreement and said, take me on a ride. And I was thinking a day ride and, you know, maybe a state park, county park, something like that. Little did I know that it would turn into an 8-day trip into the largest wilderness complex in the lower 48. The Bob Marshall complex is not just the Bob Marshall wilderness, but the Scapegoat Wilderness and a couple other, and it totals 1.5 million acres. And, you know, I'm not good with area measurements, but 1.5 million acres is a chunk.
That is a chunk.
It's big. more than you can ride in a day.
Well, listen, we want to get into some details about that, but right now we want to take just a minute. We're going to be playing trail trivia every week with our listeners. And it's going to be a chance for people to win some really cool prizes by calling in and answering these trail trivia questions. But I'm going to go ahead and ask the question now. And then we'll come back in the second segment of the show, and we'll take calls from people who have an answer for us. But this is an interesting piece of trivia. I think you'll like this, Robert. The Goodnight Loving Trail was a cattle trail that ran from Texas to New Mexico to Colorado and finally into Wyoming back in the mid-1860s. It was a 700-mile cattle trail. And that is the Goodnight and Loving Trail. And we want our callers to tell us who the trail was named after. So that's the Goodnight Loving Trail. It was a 700-mile trail that was used to drive cattle from Texas all the way up into Denver and then into Wyoming. And we're going to take your calls in our second segment. So call with an answer to that. And our trail trivia is sponsored by Hispania Silk All-Natural Grooming Products. And you can look up their website, hispaniaproducts.com. It's going to be a terrific five-piece gift set that our winner can win tonight, and that is simply by answering the trail trivia question, who was the Goodnight Loving Trail named after? So be sure and call in our second segment. We'll ask for our callers to do that then. But let's get back into this 1.5 million acres of the Bob Marshall.
Yeah, 1.5 million acres. I don't know if there's 700 miles of trail in there, but I know there's a lot. it's tremendous country. It's tremendous terrain. A lot of people know of the Bob Marshall. It's fairly iconic. And if somebody were to do a Google search on the Bob Marshall Wilderness, some of the big name areas that pop up are the Chinese Wall, this 1,000-foot edifice that stretches 12 miles north and south. It's phenomenal. Place called Big Prairie, which is a big prairie. It's tremendous. Now, where I went on this fish and wildlife trip was a place on the west side, which gets relatively less traffic. I mean, people still ride there, of course, but it's not as big a name, if you will, as going in from Benchmark or some of the others into these very, you know, big name places, you know, like the Chinese Wall and et cetera.
Right.
We went in from the yes, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. But we went in from the west side out of a place near Holland Lake. And the camp's name, the campsite was the Owl Creek Packers Camp, and you don't have to be a packer to go there or camp there. And it's a tremendous campground, even for just day riders. I think you'd have a wonderful time. So you head out from there. The trail out, there's one main trail out from camp, and that trail is the only trail I've ever been on that has travel restrictions based on time of day. There's enough people that use it, and the trail is, we'll call it interesting.
It's yeah.
One of those trails that gets a bit narrow in places, and one stirrup is brushing the side of the mountain, and the other is kind of dangling over nothing.
In
a couple
my
places.
Goodness.
Not a bad trail, but just a bit narrow for company, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they have travel restrictions. So from sun up until noon, it's all going into the wilderness, going out from camp. And then from noon until night, it's all inbound traffic going into camp, so out of the wilderness. So
right.
That was a very interesting thing to see. Now, if anybody's going in there this year, the Forest Service, they're doing a lot of blasting on that trail to make it more friendly for cross traffic, I guess.
Okay.
So hopefully it won't be quite as, like I said, interesting in the future. Though they're going to be doing a lot of blasting there.
Oh wow!
And but you follow this creek, Holland Creek, from Lower Holland Lake next to the camp to Upper Holland Lake, and you kind of follow this little creek all the way up. And then you cross over Pendant Pass, and you go past Pendant Lake, down a drainage to a place called Big Salmon Creek, and it's a tremendous huge drainage. Like I said, on the west side of the of the wilderness area, and just the towering ridges on either side, the red rock, and these alpine lakes. Now, if anybody listening has ever been to an alpine lake, they're just tremendous. You know, the deep, deep blue of the water, kind of echoing that deep blue of the sky above, the dark green of the trees. It's just the best thing in the world. And you know, Gary, the whole time that we were in, I never once saw a bear, nor even a sign of one.
Well, I'm sure they saw you, but it's a good thing that you didn't get to see them. That's good.
You know, I wasn't complaining. More than once
but
on the trail.
But did you have all the bells and whistles to keep them away?
yeah, we did. We did do the bear bells, and all the biologists.
It worked, then.
Exactly. Not a bear in sight. and all, excuse me, all of the biologists and we all carried, you know, bear spray, you know, just in case. Nobody had to use it, thank heavens. The only wildlife critters we saw, besides some glorious cutthroat trout, we saw a moose, which I think moose are just great from a distance.
Right,
And we had some of the biggest camp deer. Now, you guys have been camping on horses. Have you ever noticed that, you know, you always have the camp deer that kind of wander in? They're used to people.
Right.
This was the same thing, only we were 15 miles in, and the deer were still used to people.
Oh,
and they
wow.
just wander next to camp, and it was one of the best trips I've ever been on. Not just because the scenery was just drop dead glorious. Even though some of the biologists referred to where we're going as a whole and not nearly as pretty as other places, I really think that every place we ride has something special about it that makes it special over anything else in some regard. You know, I'm not a mountain rider by birth, by a long shot. I'm relatively new to riding the mountains. But I think they're glorious. But there's still places back home in Ohio that, you know, even though I could stand on the back of my pickup truck and call myself the tallest thing in the state, you know, there's still places there that I will always hold near and dear to me because they're special in their own way. So I would imagine that both, you know, you and Tina have those special places as well.
Right. Well, Tina,
you have
any questions? Yeah, go ahead.
With the high elevations, and maybe the viewers out there might have this question as well, when you are used to the flatter grounds and the different type of air, and when you are traveling with your own horse and you're going to these high elevations and everything, do you go a day or two early to get your horse to acclimate for the air for them?
Not typically. And a lot of times it's just not feasible. I'll bounce from the Bob to Seattle. We just moved to Spokane from Seattle last year. And in mm-hmm. Seattle riding, we're riding the Cascade Range, but you're literally going from, you know, 200-400 feet of elevation to, you know, call it 6,000, maybe even 7,000 feet, depending on where you are in that range. And, yeah, you feel it. I'm sure the horses feel it, too. That's one of the reasons why I think it's so important. Not only do we stay in shape as an active rider as opposed to a passenger, but we keep our animals, you know, we say legged up, but isn't that really just keeping them exercised and ready to go on these trips? I think we've all seen it, and we all kind of cringe, but there's some subset of riders that don't ride for an extended period. They take Bessie out of the pasture and expect them to do 20 miles up and down mountain ranges and then wonder why nobody's having fun.
But they can't catch them the next ride.
Exactly.
agree.
Exactly.
Well, you know, a lot of times when I'm traveling or something, I actually like to give my horse an extra day, and I usually plan that extra day for him to kind of get used to it, because now I haven't done a lot of riding in the West yet, but like coming from the West and coming up here, we have humidity that can make this air very thick on the horse, and no matter what kind of condition they're in, if they're not really used to that, I just usually kind of like to give them a day.
Exactly. I agree wholeheartedly with that. If you can at all do it a day, or heavens, even more if the schedule permits. I'm actually heading back east, further east than both of you. I'm going to Benzette, Pennsylvania next week for the Quarter Horse Association. I'm a speaker at their Elk Extravaganza, and I got to tell you, it's not the elevation that's scaring me. It's the humidity that is. I'm kind of concerned because I'm not used to that kind of humidity back east.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, maybe.
Or day early.
Yeah, get there early and acclimate yourself. Tina Mason.
Exactly. Yeah.
Hey,
the horse is lucky. He's not going on this trip.
Yeah, what are the dates on that? That's what, August the 15th to the 17th, is that right?
Gee golly, Gary. I believe it's 15th through 17th. You can go to PQHA.com. Google PQHA and go to Trail Rides, and the Benzette Elk Extravaganza will be right there with contact information and where it's going to be and everything.
Okay, that sounds good. Hey, I want to give our listeners an opportunity to call in if they have a question for Robert. The number you can call is 213-943-3396, 213-943-3396. We have just a few minutes if you want to call in and you have a question for Robert. And while we're doing that, I want to mention that we have just started for our listeners and our friends the Legacy Club. That's Equestrian Legacy Radio's Legacy Club. It is a free membership. You can enroll in the Legacy Club by visiting our website, equestrianlegacy.net. And our sponsors are offering tremendous discounts to our Legacy Club members. We'll have some drawings on a monthly basis, and we have a tremendous year-end drawing for a two-horse portable watering system for your trailer. It's being provided by Hydro Horse, and you can visit their website at hydrohorse.com for more information on that revolutionary watering system. And all part of the benefit of becoming a member of the Legacy Club for our friends and our listeners with Equestrian Legacy Radio's programming. So it's a free membership, a lot of discounts for you, some great giveaways that we'll be doing throughout the year. And that's at equestrianlegacy.net for our Legacy Club members. And that is a free service for you. And we've got a call right now, so let's see who we have on the line. And you're on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Gary and Tina, it's Elaine and Bill and Trevor from Pennsylvania. How are you?
Wait, hey, Elaine.
Hi, Elaine.
Nice to talk to you guys. Congratulations on your new show.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And by the way, let me mention that Camp with Horses, Elaine's company, is one of our Legacy Club sponsors and also providing giveaways for Saddle Up America. And so next week we'll be giving away a great Highline from Camp with Horses. And we appreciate your sponsorship and support very much, Elaine. But do you have a question?
You're welcome.
Do you have a question for Robert?
Hi, Robert. We just are counting down the days till we get to meet you in person and see Celeste again here at Benazette, PA. We just wondering.
Oh, excellent.
We're both really looking forward to it. Yeah, we're looking forward to this great ride over in Elk Country in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So how many elk are we going to see?
I don't know. In August, not too many, I'm afraid, but maybe a few. Maybe a few. They're not in rut, and they're not in breeding right now. But we're looking forward to meeting you, Robert, and we're so excited to be connected and networked with you and the Saddle Up America and the Equestrian Legacy Radio and everybody everybody involved. It's great.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah, you guys have a good show, and we're listening in while we're working on the horse and barn right now, so that's why I'm late getting on. But it's congratulations. I'm excited for everybody. Looking forward to meeting you, Robert.
Thanks so much. You too. We'll have to share a cup of coffee.
Yes, we will. We'll be seeing you soon.
All right.
Excellent.
Thanks, Lynn. Thanks a lot.
Yep, you guys have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right. Well, appreciate Elaine calling in. We appreciate Camp with Horses sponsoring Equestrian Legacy Radio and providing our giveaway items for Saddle Up America. So appreciate her calling in. And, you know, Robert, a half an hour has gone by. Way too
You know, late. I feel like I've just kind of rambled on, you know, but I had a great time. I hope the listeners had a good time, and hopefully they'll call in more next time.
Well, I hope so, and we're looking forward to having you on every second Tuesday of the month. So it's going to be a lot of fun having you as a partner with Saddle Up America, and we appreciate you just so much, and look forward to talking to you next month.
Excellent. Well, thank
Absolutely.
You again, Gary and Tina
that.
May. Have a great ride, and I'm going to hop off here and turn on the show so I can listen to the rest of it.
All right. We
awesome.
appreciate that
Have
very much.
Have a great
much.
Evening, everybody. Bye-bye now.
You too, Robert. Thanks.
Robert.
Hey, listen, when we come back, we're going to head to Alabama to visit with Danny Foster and Reggie Little at the Seven Spring Lodge and the Rattlesnake Saloon. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's
Saddle Up America.
Saddle Up America. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Reggie Little.
I'm leaving to go back home where the short grass grows. I'm going where the short grass grows. The blue mountains rise and the wind always blows. A place big enough for a man to dream. Back home where the short grass grows. A prettier sky, almost as blue as the blue of her eyes. When we shared our love by the pinon fire's glow, back home where the short grass grows. I'm going where the short grass grows. Blue mountains rise and the wind always blows. A place big enough for a man to dream. Back home where the short grass grows. Where the ponies run wild like the wind in her hair. When I close my eyes I can almost be there. I can see my love awaiting where that old sweet water flows. Back home where the short grass grows. I'm going where the short grass grows. Blue mountains rise and the wind always blows. A place big enough for a man to dream. Back home where the short grass grows.
The short grass is a waving to a turquoise sky above. The aspen-covered hills guard the country that I love. I'm going where the short grass grows. The blue mountains rise and the wind
clothes. A place big enough for a man to dream. Back home where the short grass grows. My home where the short grass grows. The short grass grows.
That's R.W. Hampton's Short Grass, and we had Danny Foster on the line, and he suddenly disappeared. But we're going to be visiting with Danny in just a minute in Tuscumbia, Alabama. But while we're waiting for him to get connected again, we want to remind people about our trivia question for this evening. This is our trail trivia, and the question is, the Goodnight Loving Trail was a cattle trail that ran from Texas all the way to Wyoming in the mid-1860s, and who was the trail named after? That's the Goodnight Loving Trail, and we're going to let you call in just a little bit during this segment of the show. And right now, we have Danny Foster on the line with us. Danny is the owner of Seven Springs Lodge and the Rattlesnake Saloon in Tuscumbia, Alabama. And Danny, how are you doing?
Very well, Gary, very well.
Well, just tickled to have you on.
I tell you, I've got Reggie here with us tonight also.
All right. Well,
hi,
Reggie.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Great, great. Fantastic. Good to have you on. Good to have you on. Well, listen, tell us a little bit about your location down there in Alabama, the Seven Springs Lodge, and we want to talk a little bit about Rattlesnake Saloon, too. But, Danny, how did you get started with the lodge?
Years ago, we had all this old land that we ran cattle on and timbered, and I built a hunting lodge, and and then it started moving into horses and evolved into trail riding more than hunting now. And a few years back, 5 years back, we built the Rattlesnake Saloon, which has been a great hit, and it just keeps evolving. Like this weekend, we're having a moonlight ride. Next year, we're having a chuck wagon race, our second annual. We're very pleased with how it's turned out.
Well, it's a great looking facility down there, and I know that people are tickled to death with the different events that you have. But talk to us a little bit about the Seven Springs Lodge itself. How much land do you have to ride on, and how are you set up down there?
Okay, we've got 3,000 acres private land that we ride on. We got right now living quarters. We got two silos I converted into bunk houses. We got two cabins. We got 105 hookup for RVs. And trailers, some with sewer, some with water and power, about 160-something stalls for our customers, and that's about it. The accommodations, that's about what we got right now. But keep adding on.
Right. Well, tell me about these silos, because that's kind of fascinating to me. I've never slept in a silo before.
What I did, that's right. You know, you're chuckling.
I've been in the barn in the doghouse. I've just never been in a silo.
Well, I farmed 27 years prior to this, and then finally got out, and I had these old silos. Well, they're bins, really. They're grain bins. I had them on the farm, and whenever I decided to put this up, I was looking for an economical way of housing people. I guess, you know, in hunting clubs, they have the bunk houses, you know, and you got the rooms coming off the lodge part, and it's just very aggravating, I thought, to keep everybody under one roof. So I tore them down, brought them out here, erected them, and like I said, then they sleep eight apiece. There's a bottom floor and top floor in them. Stairways go to top, central air and heat. They turned out very well. We have a lot of compliments on it, and we've got two cabins that sleep four-piece. with the stalls right beside of them. If you wanted more, a little more privacy, and that's like I said. And then we got all the hookers for the campers.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the Rattlesnake Saloon, because that's pretty fascinating to me.
It has really took off.
Yeah, tell us how did you come up with the name Rattlesnake Saloon?
Well, okay. I was wanting to, we've got a big shelter. It's 156 feet long, 60 or right at 70 feet deep, 22 feet tall. It dates back about 6 million years.
Oh, wow.
It's a natural archway. I mean, not a natural shelter, should I say. Now, it faced north, so we didn't have to deal with the Indians. All our Indians live in shelters that faced east or west or southeast, southwest. So we didn't disturb any Indians at all, found no artifacts. So we went down and took a machine and dug it out, the debris and the extra rock and stuff like that, to level it off for the saloon. And went in there and built a wood structure. It looks like an old Texas saloon. When we were building, we thought saloon, Texas saloon. Everything we put in it would, you feel like you are in a Texas saloon. And
right.
You've got to hitch your rails in front. You do ride your horse down, hook them up, and go into the saloon. Underneath the shelter also, we've got a dance floor, stage, band stage, and the lights on it, fans under it, and we serve a restaurant. We are open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 11 to 3. We open at 11, close at 10 at night. It's very family oriented. We serve beverages, which is draft beer from 5 to 10. In other words, we sell alcohol 15 hours for the weekend.
Okay.
And
all
right. Right now, it's the fifth most place to see in Alabama.
Oh,
and
wow.
Resto and Arsenal is the first. This weekend, I was telling Reggie a while ago that we had people from China, Brazil, Scotland, and the North Pole.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That was this weekend, too.
Yeah, that was just this weekend.
Oh, wow. Wow. Wow.
And you can't drive to the saloon, can you? You walk or ride your horse
too. That's right. We got a parking area. It's below a big steep hill. So we got a taxi, a saloon taxi, which is a 3/4-ton truck with a bed on it and all this. So we carry you down, bring you out. Like I said, the thrill of the ride is a lot of people just enjoy that. When you go off the little knoll down to where it's at, a lot of people scream and carol. Like I said, we have a lot of people just come out to just ride the truck.
Right. Well, now I understand too that the Rattlesnake Saloon is open for the general public to come and
enjoy.
Oh,
yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's open to whomever. And you asked how we get the name.
That's a good story there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. When we have machinery down there digging it out, I've got a little boy that helps me, a young man. And he comes riding down with a four-wheeler, and I'm working down there with the machinery, showing him what I need to get done. And he says, Danny says, that's a rattlesnake down here. And I've got a place about 500 yards from here where I keep, I call it a lay-down yard. It's to keep that important junk that you can't throw away.
Right,
you heard
right.
That. You heard that junk.
Right, right.
But it's too important to throw away, so we got a place down there that we store it. So I told him, I says, man, go down there and kill that snake. I said, dock his head off, because we skin them out a lot and have the skin around, you know. We sell the skin at the souvenir shop or give them away, whatever. And we got one guy that makes harness, the breastplates for horses and stuff out of our rattlesnake we killed here. So anyhow, about an hour after that, I go down there and I says, did you kill that snake? He said, yes, and I killed 12 little ones.
Oh, my goodness.
He killed 13 at one time. See, rattlesnakes have live birth. They do not lay eggs. And
oh, wow.
Old mother snake would, the old mother snake would land there where they're brood, and just so happened we got all of it. And my son, William Foster, owns and runs a rattlesnake saloon. Whenever I built it and everything like that, I told him, I said, son, I don't want it. I just want to build it. I don't want to run it, so it's yours. So I told him we were looking for a name for it. I said, what do you think about Rattlesnake Saloon? He says, I love it. So it was named that time.
Well, now, I think you also fry that rattlesnake up, too, don't you?
for our personal use, yes. we can't serve it down there, but yes, we eat a lot of rattlesnake. It's very good.
Yeah, well, it is.
And it tastes like chicken. Don't they all say that?
Hard to say. People say it tastes like chicken. Yeah, frog, it tastes like chicken, you know, but that's a pretty cool story. Pretty cool story. Well, Reggie, I know that you've been heavily involved, and one of the things that I first became aware of you because of the chuck wagon race that you did this year, and I believe this was your first one. But tell us a little bit about that. How did that get started?
Well, Gary, first off, I am so excited about my association with Danny and the Seven Springs Rock Lodge and the Rattlesnake, he might be. It is a very family oriented place, but there are probably 400 single cowboys and cowgirls down there on any given weekend night. So all the singles out there that are hunting a cowboy or a cowgirl, Rattlesnake Saloon needs to be your number one spot.
All right, well, I just put that on my calendar.
But back to the wagon races, I've had a dream of doing the chuck wagon races for several years. We go over to Clinton to the national finals, and Mr. Oaf is a good friend of mine over there. And last year I decided, well, I want to see him come east of the Mississippi River. And I know there's a lot of us from over here that travel out there every year. So got here, and I got to thinking about how to do it, and I called Mr. Dan up, and I said, Dan, will you help me? And he said, yes, I'll help you put chuck wagon races east of Mississippi. So then it boiled down to finding the venue, the right venue, and so I called on my good friend Danny, who at that time I really hadn't met before, but since then we've grown to be, that people say we look a lot alike. They call him Reggie and me Danny. But I personally think I'm a little prettier than he is, but and younger too.
That's debatable.
But anyway, I called Danny. I said, Danny Foster, you want to put on a chuck wagon race at Seven Springs Lodge? His exact words were, hell yes. And he said, come on over, let's talk it over. So I came over, and to make a long story short, we formed a partnership on the races, and you either have nothing any better than a good partnership or any worse than a bad one. And
right.
So I just let Danny do whatever he wants to, and we get along great.
Well, that sounds good. That sounds good. Hey,
but
I want to
we
take
had about 3,800 people come and go at these last chuck wagon races for a first. That was phenomenal. Mr. Dan himself came from Clinton, first time he's ever went to a chuck wagon race other than his own. And,
oh, wow.
And that was a great honor for us. And he told us, he said, Reggie said, y'all are today where it took us 6 years to get. And I think they had 30,000 people last year.
Oh, wow.
So,
wow. Well, I want to talk, Reggie, I want to talk a little bit more about what you see when you come to the chuck wagon race. I want to give our audience a chance to answer this trivia question right now. And we'll take just a quick break. And the question is, the Goodnight Loving Trail was named after who? And so if you guys want to call in and see if you can win a great gift pack from Hispania Silk all-natural grooming products, then we'll take your calls. And while we're waiting on doing that, and by the way, Espana Silk is EspanaProducts.com, and I understand that they make products for both two-legged and four-legged critters. So that's great products from our good sponsor, Espana Silk. But if you want to call in, the number is 213-943-3396, 213-943-3396, and tell us who the Goodnight Loving Trail was named after. So anyway, let's get back and talk a little bit about this chuckwagon race and the 3,800 folks that were down there, and what is it exactly that people see, Reggie, when they come to the chuckwagon race?
Well, they get to see somebody beeping in on them. They get to see, Gary. We have a week long. This next one will be 5 days, I think, the way we've got it set up. And you'll get to see steer roping, bronc fanning, ranch rodeo events. I think the growingest event now in the United States is the Craig Cameron style obstacle course, and we do a big obstacle course for the thing. We're hoping to add possibly a chuck wagon cooking contest this coming year, and also maybe some mule events.
All right, hold on, and let me see if we can give away a gift set just a second, and we'll talk more about that. Can you tell us who the Goodnight Loving Trail was named after? Who do we have on the phone? Who's calling?
My name is
228-238. Angie?
Annie.
Oh, Annie.
Annie.
Okay.
Hi, Annie.
Hi, Annie. Well, who was it that the Goodnight Loving Trail was named after? Charlie Goodnight. That's right. That is exactly right.
Good job.
And you have just won a Espana Silk all-natural grooming product gift set. And what I need you to do is to go to our website, equestrianlegacy.net, and in the contact section, put your email address and your mailing address with your name so that we can get that right out to you. Would you do that for us?
I would.
All right. Well, thanks for playing Trail Trivia with us.
And thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. All right. And she can go to Equestrian Legacy. Our first winner. She can go to EquestrianLegacy.net and provide her contact information, and we'll get that gift set out to her. So, Reggie, I apologize, but we wanted to get that call in. And so we were talking last about the Extreme Cowboy type event that you have there.
Yeah, it's a Craig Cameron course. Maybe next year we're going to try to get Craig Cameron here himself. One of our good friends here that put that on, they do a lot of his races, and they get him to them. But we're going to work on that, and hopefully we can get him. But anyway, we're hoping to add some mule events, maybe some mule racing. And we also have the Snowy River race that goes across a couple of creeks and up and down a big hill, and it comes around the track and finishes wide open right in front of the grandstand. And that thing was really a big hit and a big success. And it's open to anyone who would like to enter. We do limit it, the numbers on it, but it's anyone's eligible to call in and enter up for it. And
those are fun.
We have, of course, all kinds of bands and music every night down at the track. And then, of course, at the Rattlesnake, they've got bands and music there every night. So it's kind of you get a double whammy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now you've got your full-size chuck wagons, but you also, don't you have some miniature chuck wagons that run too?
They have the smaller ones, and the big ones are called the Classics. It's the big
okay.
Full Conestoga chuck wagon, and that's a 1,000-pound, must weigh at least 1,000 pounds, and it's the finale each time. It's the finale race, and they are pulled by mules, and mules mostly, but horses can pull as well. But anyway, they're exciting to watch. And then they have the little cut-down wagons that look like mini chuck wagons that they use in the Oklahoma land rush.
Right.
And then two, before I forget, things to do here during that week, we have the best trail riding here. Gary, I just can't tell you. When you're talking about going to ride trails, when you come to Rattlesnake and the Seven Springs, you have outcroppings, rock outcroppings here. Some of them are 320 million years old.
Oh,
and,
wow.
I mean, they're breathtaking. Waterfalls, outcroppings, right up in under the rocks. Great place to photograph. Shaded trails, big overlooks. And you can come here and ride for a week and not see it all. I mean, it's just that many trails. And you've got your wide trails and your narrow trails, you know, your tougher trails. There's trails here for every rider.
Every level.
You know, whether you're a beginner, or an expert, there's a trail here for you. But back to the wagon races.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No,
we
just
are
saying.
Go ahead.
Nick. No, I just started to say that is a place that people need to put on their bucket list and make sure they get down there for the trail riding. And your second chuck race is going to be, is that Mother's Day weekend?
Yes, it is Mother's Day weekend. And we also always do something on Mother's Day, you know, for the ladies each year, but we encourage everybody to bring their mother to Rattlesnake for Mother's Day.
we're trying to
provide a service.
Right, or bring your mother-in-law for a chuck wagon race. That might be a...
That's right. That's right.
Mother-in-law, yeah.
Or the Bronc Fanning. I tell you, the Bronc Fanning is something to see.
Yeah. Well, now tell us where you're located. How can we find you?
Go ahead, Danny.
Okay. We're in the northwest corner of Alabama, the Must Shows area. We're 30 miles from Tennessee, 20-something miles from Mississippi. We're within 9 miles of the Tennessee River and the foothills of the Appalachia. We get on, you can Google it, to SevenSpringsLodge.net, and we got MapQuest on it.
Okay.
We'll get you right here. If not, Google is 1292 Mountain Mills Road, Tuscumbia, Alabama. But we're right in the northwest corner.
Well, so
yeah,
not only
I'd
like
to add
Reggie.
Also, we've got the Alabama Music Hall of Fame is only a few miles down the road here in Tuscumbia, and that goes on every day. And we also have a national treasure, the National Coondog Cemetery is a pretty famous deal.
Glad you brought that up. That was fun. The Coondog's graveyard, I think, is what Danny.
The Coondog Cemetery, and I tell you, it's something to see. You can't believe the tombstones and headstones that are over there for those dogs. And I tell you, from the 30s and the 20s And it's actually something to see, and it's not but a few miles from here through the woods from the Rattlesnake.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Now, can you ride your horse to that area?
Do what now?
Can you ride
your horse
to that area?
No, we cross, it's Danny, we cross the Alabama National Forest here. Well, it's not a national forest, it's Forever Wild, and they won't let us cross. But I was going to tell you about the coon dog.
Yeah.
3 years ago, this is sort of, you know, how well they think of their coon dogs. We had a person came out of Illinois and brought his coon dog down, brought it in a hearse, had a full funeral, had pallbearers, and had mourners cry over his dog when they buried him.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
Yes. Now, you can't just bury any coon dog there. He has to be a sanctioned Grand National or something like that, and you have to get permission to let that dog lay there. Does anybody just because he lays his paw on the tree and howls, he can't go there. He has to be a proven coon dog.
Oh, wow. Wow, that is too cool. That is too cool. Well, so there are a lot of things that are going on down at Seven Springs Lodge and at the Rattlesnake Saloon. And tell us again about this Moonlight Ride, Danny, that's coming up.
I'll let Reggie tell you.
All right,
yeah,
Reggie.
That's another thing we're really excited about. It's this year, in August, you have 5 supermoons this year. I don't know if you're aware what those are, but the moon is, I don't recall the exact percentage, but it's a pretty good bit bigger by where the sun is and all. But it's going to be a supermoon, and also it's the beginning of the Presidio meteor shower.
Oh, wow.
It starts on Saturday, will be the first night of it, Saturday night, and in the northwest part of the sky, you'll start getting to see the shooting stars, and then that'll be the night we have it. It'll be on Saturday night, be the start of it. But that's a pretty big deal for us, and it's been a real success so far here in the south. Traditionally, we do moon rides. They call it riding the moon, or a lot of old boys will poach at night, call it hunting the moon. But
right.
But back during the day, but I never did do none of that stuff. But down here, we typically in the hot parts of the year, we'll catch a good moon and we'll call ride the moon. And we've had some of my best memories come from some moon rides we've been on. And two, we're right in the middle of the Freedom Hills, and they're famous for their moonshine. So
right.
We mix the shine with the moon and the supermoon and the Presidio meteor shower, and, of course, all the pretty cowgirls and the single cowboys will be here. It can be a pretty romantic scenario.
Oh, wow. That sounds like a ton of fun. And so is that
this
weekend?
It is a lot
weekend,
of fun, I can assure
this
you.
This weekend or next weekend?
It'll be this coming weekend.
This coming weekend. So if people need to get involved in that, you still have room for some folks?
We can have room for self-contained. All of our, we've got over 100 camper spots, RV hookups that are already booked, all our cabins. It booked out, I think, in, a couple, 3 weeks, Danny?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it booked out quick. But we still have plenty of room. We had 3,800 people here for the chuck wagon races, so we've got room to park everybody. Tell them to come on, and we'll find a spot for them. Also, let me mention this real quick. We think that we were the largest equine event ever held in the state of Alabama. I know Clinton is the largest equine event held in the world, Guinness Book of World Records, but we're shooting to have the biggest one east of Mississippi, and right now I can't tell you that's a fact that we are, but I don't know if anything has any more mounted riders than what we will have here. And it's huge. It's a bucket list deal. It's something to see. And I promise you one thing, you won't ever be treated any more like family than you'll get treated right here.
Oh, that sounds good.
That's awesome.
Well, now tell us again when that is.
That will be August the 8th and 9th.
All right, August 8th tonight for the Moonlight Ride.
It's coming Friday night, Saturday night. We're going to all, anybody that doesn't have a horse, come on to the saloon. We're going to go down there and have a meet, greet, kind of social type deal till 10 p.m. The saloon closes at 10, which is early for most places like that, but they don't like to stay open any longer than that. But they'll close at 10, and that'll give us plenty of time to get the moon up bright and the meteor shower going, and then we'll leave out the lodge here. It's well lit here at 10:30. All the riders will, and then we have a guided ride that'll go over to Ball Knob, which is the highest point in this area, and it's a spectacular view from there of the moon. It definitely is a bucket list deal. But don't be afraid if you don't have a horse. You come on over here and meet the cowboys and the cowgirls, and you might get to ride double with somebody. I'm going to get a bigger horse when I get more girls on it.
There you go. That sounds like a cowboy. All right. Well,
yes,
and the chuck wagon race is going to be Mother's Day weekend in 2015. And, you know, guys, we need to get you back on before that so we can talk a little bit about that again. That would be a bunch of fun.
Oh, yes, it would be.
That would be a bunch of fun. So, Reggie, again, or Danny, again, give us your website so people can go there and find you.
sevenspringslodge.net.
All right, sevenspringslodge.net. They also have a Facebook page for Seven Springs Lodge, and there's a Facebook page for the Rattlesnake Saloon. So put it on
and
your list.
And we've got an event page also for the wagon races. There's an event page up where they can get on there and click if they're coming and keep up with all the information on the wagon races.
Okay, and that's on Facebook?
That's on Facebook.
That's on Facebook. All right, so check that out. And listen, guys, appreciate very much you taking the time to join us and tell folks about what you've got going on down at Seven Springs and the Rattlesnake Saloon. And don't worry about the rattlesnakes because they're pretty good about taking care of those and skinning them out. And
yeah, we've never seen one down there. Like I said, it was 500 yards away whenever we found that one.
All right.
A lot of people get worried about it, you know, that we got snakes here. But we don't. What you see will be already dead, you know. So,
yeah, and let me say this, too. It's not like they go out killing rattlesnakes.
No.
They're pretty – we're conservationists here, and we take care. You'll see deer here, all kinds of wildlife. The only time a snake gets in trouble is if he comes into a populated area here, and that's not very often. I've been here – a lot this last year, and I've never seen a snake, so you don't have to worry about that.
All right. Well, you guys have been great to talk with. We're going to encourage everybody to put Seven Springs Lodge on their calendar. Check out their Facebook page and their website at sevenspringslodge.net and get out and have some fun down in Alabama and enjoy those beautiful trails and a great facility that they have there. So, Danny, thank you so much, and Reggie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Gary. Come ride the moon with us.
All right. We'll put it on our list. All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, Miss Tina May, have you had fun with the first show?
Oh, absolutely. It was great. Had some great guests, and it was fun. And had our first winner. Congratulations to Annie.
And congratulations to Annie, and we want to remind Annie again, if she's still listening, to go to equestrianlegacy.net to our contact section and put your email and your mailing information there so we can get that great gift pack from Hispania's Silk All Natural Products to you this week. Well, listen, thanks everybody for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. We're going to have a great show lined up for next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Central Time. And on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Thursday show that is live at high noon, we're going to be traveling to Texas to visit with an award-winning singer-songwriter and cowgirl, Miss Jean Prescott will be joining us. And also Mr. Jim McGarvey, who is the chairman of Backcountry Horsemen of America. Will be talking with us about some legislation that's very important to the trail riders, some things that are pending right now in Washington. And so that's Thursday at noon on our show at Equestrian Legacy Radio. And a lot of fun tonight. We hope you've enjoyed this first show, and I look forward to having you come back again next Tuesday night at 7 o'clock when we saddle up America. And Tina May, we remind folks at the end of every show that if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Saddle Up America. Thanks for listening.
Drifting again like an old tumbleweed. Riding the wind with the dandelion seed. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. She cut me loose and told me don't come back. Now I'm like a hobo by the railroad track. Drifting again like an old tumbleweed. Riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then again. Drifting now, Joe. North, south, east, or west, it don't matter much to me. I just couldn't grow 'em through these cowboy boots. Drifting again like an old tumbleweed, riding the wind with the dandelion seeds. Someday I'll land, but I don't know when. Till then I'm drifting again. Yes, I'm drifting. Till then, I'm drifting again. Let's do some drifting now. Here we go. Got the wind at my back.